is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek and The Hill. And we're very pleased to welcome Cleo Pascal of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies to help us with a story that is remote, but it is spectacularly dangerous. The China-India border in the high Himalayas, snow-packed, very difficult breathing, challenging conditions for even these fit young men deployed by the Indian Republic, 50,000 of them or more. The headline from This Week in Asia, China-India border, New Delhi redirects Pakistani-facing troops, tanks, before a 13th round of line of actual control talks. In the run-up to the meeting, it goes on to say both India and China have ramped up deployments along their 3,488-kilometer shared border. Cleo, this story has been going on for many months. We always mention it, but it's hard to visualize until I saw this photograph. The question here is, this is expensive, this is dangerous. Is there an end to it, or is this a perpetual guardian like the Cold War made America guard the frontier in Germany for 60 or 70 years? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, it's perpetual on the Indian side unless they want the region, you know, unless they want Mao's vision of the five fingers coming down from the top of the Himalayas, meaning huge chunks of India becoming China. You know, this is the vision for what the Chinese Communist Party has wanted for that region has been in place for decades. And there might be some forward and back on the Chinese side, but there is a continual push that might be military, it might be economic, it might be political, but the direction is very clear. There is no retreat from the Chinese side unless they will be forced to retreat. The reason for the big buildup now is there's a concern that Xi needs a win, a military win, and they don't want India to look like the easy option, especially in comparison to what's going on in the South China Sea and Taiwan. So there is a very clear awareness that what's happening to those, you know, very tough, hardy soldiers up in the Himalayas is directly linked to the 50-plus planes that are flying over Taiwan on a daily basis. This is all part of China pushing to see where it's going to try to take the win, and India trying to say, not us, please.
Gordon, the Indian military is a hard target. My understanding of Xi Jinping is that he wants a win against a soft target. He's really good picking on Tibetan monks, for example, or beating up on young people in Hong Kong. Taking on a hard target, my memory, Gordon, is that the Chinese Communist Army has not won a war against a hard target ever. So taking on India, isn't that about 50 bridges too far?
Well, India is a hard target. But also got to remember, though, that in the Chinese Civil War, the Communist Party and their army actually did win against a hard target. Now, there were a lot of reasons why it did, but nonetheless, yeah, you're right. Since then, they've not been able to show victory.
And therefore, where is this going with Xi Jinping? I remind all of us that India is a nuclear power with alliances with the United States, Australia, and Japan. This would not be an easy win. It might be the end of Xi Jinping's Forbidden Palace.
Yes, it could easily be. And the question is, as countries around China's periphery toughen themselves up, the only place that Xi Jinping is going to get a win is maybe Nepal. But, you know, short of Nepal, which is not going to really give him what he needs politically inside China, you know, this could very well be the end of the all-powerful Xi Jinping.
You have a question for Cleo, Gordon.
Cleo, in order to reinforce its forces raid against China, as this article talks about, India is withdrawing forces that are confronting Pakistan and Kashmir. Does this give Pakistan the ability, or maybe does it tempt them to actually try some provocative activities in Kashmir or someplace else?
So this is a really interesting question, because kind of the assumption was that this is directly related to Afghanistan, right? That kind of as Taliban asserted and consolidated control in Afghanistan, then some of that could be redirected, that terrorist activity would be redirected towards Kashmir. But Taliban is not consolidating in Afghanistan. There are enormous issues domestically, uprising, fratricide. Like it's really bad. And something that's worth taking a closer look at is what happened at the Shanghai Cooperation Organization agreement a few weeks ago, sort of almost around a month ago. So this is the Shanghai Cooperation Organization has not really been paid much attention to for a long time because it was seen largely as a vehicle for, you know, China with Russian acquiescence to get into Central Asia. But at the last meeting, the reports are that China actually found itself quite isolated on wanting to recognize the Taliban as the leadership in Afghanistan. And you had a coming together of basically the old Northern Alliance backers, India, Iran, Russia, Tajikistan. And Iran was admitted as a full member during that session. Their membership was agreed. So you've got a lot of activity happening all around. And the message seems to be if China is continuing to back the Taliban, which is something that is very dangerous for Russia and the Central Asian republics, and obviously India as well, then that may be a fracture in the Sino-Russian alliance that was unexpected, and India may be trying to get in there to try to keep that terroristic activity contained and ideally beaten within Afghanistan.
Cleo, I have heard talk, it's just talk, that India has its hawk party as well. And I've heard talk that there has been for years the idea, we're tired of these provocations, let's just take Tibet. Is that something that is discussed in Delhi under Prime Minister Modi to go on the offensive?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you hear it, you know, by extremely knowledgeable people on nightly panel shows, you know, and they'll say, you know, we if they come after us, we can liberate, and they've to kind of gamed it out, you know, about two thirds of Tibet, you know, and the argument is that the reason that there were thousands of years of no problem between China and India is because there was a buffer state, and you know, it was only this kind of destruction of the independence of Tibet that created this new geostrategic problem. And there is a lot of desire to, you know, go back to that state, apart from the simple morality of it, where there are religious sites that are extremely important for Hindus and obviously for Buddhists in Tibet. And there's a lot of concern about being able to visit those sites and the sanctity of those sites. I mean, it's part of a very deep understanding of what it is to be Indian that, you know, that is disturbed by the idea that the Chinese Communist Party is holding sway over this area. So it's not a small thing, and it's not just the hawk. It's a feeling like something wrong happened in 1950, and that there may be time to redress it now.
Gordon, we have about a minute.
So, Cleo, are the Indian Army deployments in Ladakh sustainable? I mean, they're huge. I mean, but can New Delhi keep them there for an indefinite period of time?
They will if they have to. I mean, absolutely. But it's not but in the same way, this isn't the only thing that's happening. This is the visible side of what's happening on the Chinese side and on the Indian side. But there are things that are happening in cyber, in space, in bio. There's all sorts of other stuff happening at the same time. This is just what we see in terms of how fraught the conflict is at this moment.
Cleo Pascal is a senior fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, reporting on the high Himalayas, the standoff between two nuclear powers in Eurasia, the two most populous states in the solar system. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.